It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
With Extreme Prejudice. How you doing, Will?
So, as I've been complaining about on this stupid show, I've been doing a lot of essay shows, a lot of readings, like the Pez Show and Tattletales, right, run by wonderful non-flaky people, and I've been having trouble booking other shows. It's very frustrating. So a former guest of ours, Jessie Conweiler, very talented young lady, I was working with her on a script she had written, and she said to me, hey, why don't I hook you up with my storytelling people, and you hook me up with your storytelling people.
The old storytelling swap.
Exactly. So I hooked her up with all my... So I sent emails and CC'd her, and all my people got right... all wrote right back to her because they're not flaky. How many of the people that Jesse hooked me up with you think got back to me?
All.
The exact opposite of that.
So none.
It's very vexing.
Is this a Jewish thing?
Is it that I'm not Jewish?
That could be it.
Or maybe they think I'm Jewish, and they're a bunch of anti-Semites.
They think you're Jewish. But she's Jewish, so why would they be affiliated with her?
Yeah, she's a pretty girl.
I don't know what to tell you. People are shitty. What can we say?
Fuck all these people. I'm going to all these shows. I'm burning them to the ground. But what's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, I just want to remind everyone to purchase books. Dylan Brody's book, Laughs Last, available on Amazon. Alex Stein's book, No, Mr. Bond, I Expect Your Dreams to Die. Both available for sale and both excellent. So do us a favor, and summer's finishing, so get some new books.
Both excellent former guests. Go back and listen to the episodes if you're a new listener.
Or that too. Listen to the episodes if you're a new listener. Also, Road to 249. We're keeping those likes going, those Facebook likes. And iTunes, give us 5 stars. Give us a review. It helps other people find the podcast. So.
Let me talk about this Facebook thing again, because people would be like, "Will, you're always bothering us about liking us on Facebook." We got a big jump in numbers, and now we're stalled out of 228. So just fucking like the Facebook page. It's like masturbation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't go anywhere. Just like it.
Yes, and unlike masturbation, this will not cause hair to grow on your palms.
Exactly. This will cause hair to grow everywhere else.
I don't think I need that either.
And who is our sponsor this week?
Well, Will, is going to the dentist just too much of a hassle? Is it impossible to find the time? No more excuses, my friend, not with Dr. Hank Goldstein's patented Smile Bus. This mobile office, featuring state-of-the-art German technology, pulls up to your home or place of business day or night. Inside, you will be greeted by a fully equipped examination room. Just lie down, open your mouth, and our dental hygienist will get to work. We promise to have you out of there in under a half hour. And for an extra fee, our driver will gladly take you to the bank, Starbucks, or wherever, all while having your teeth drilled in the back. Your days of coffee stains and cavities are over with the Smile Bus from Dr. Hank Goldstein, DDS.
This is a great product. This is the only way I get my teeth clean.
Mobile dentistry.
It's great. Mobile dentistry is a way of the future, people, especially in a bustling city like Los Angeles.
Yeah, so, you know, there you have it. No more excuses.
I especially like when we go over speed bumps when he's got the drill.
We'll deduct $5 from your bill for every time that happens.
On the show today, it's the world's end, which means we're all going to get drunk. Also, if you thought a Sharknado was bad, wait till you see Ghost Shark. And the enemy is a trend I've noticed in pets that has to stop. It has to stop. And I think maybe our guests will have something to say about this as well. And speaking of which, we are very excited to have with us today. She's got a web series coming out called Cat Assistant. Amanda Nix.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So you're right off the plane this morning.
I did. I just got back from South Dakota at about 1 p.m.
Now, you are originally from South Dakota.
Yes.
No, you just went there on vacation.
Yeah, it's just a place that people like to. Actually, they do because of Mount Rushmore, which some people think is in North Dakota, and that infuriates me because it's like, don't take our one thing.
Who
don't
thinks
take
that?
It. More people than you would think. So
people educated in South Dakota.
No, they know where Mount Rushmore is, but pretty much anywhere else.
Well, you've kind of already gotten to my first question, because obviously you came out here to pursue things that you can't pursue in South Dakota. Am I wrong in thinking that South Dakota...
Dakotery. Oh, no.
I got dry mouth today. It's going to be interesting.
It was just another typo. It's fine.
Yeah,
a verbal typo. It just seems like there's... What do you do in South Dakota? Like, what is there to do? What did you do on this trip?
On this trip, I did every single hick thing that you could probably ever do.
Moonshine?
I went to not one, but two fairs.
Oh.
State and county.
I was about to make the same exact joke.
It's actually not our state fair, but it's called the Sioux Empire Fair, which makes us sound very important.
Didn't Custer take care of that problem?
I don't think that he had anything to do with this particular fair. but he does have a nice state park.
Okay.
Near Mount Rushmore.
It's a consolation prize.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you just get this land. Which worked out better for him than it did for other people. But we went to two fairs. I went to a rodeo.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I went to a sprint car race.
Was there a rodeo clown dressed as Obama at this rodeo?
No, not at this one. It did sound like something that might have happened there, but thankfully it did not happen in South Dakota. It was the worst rodeo I've ever seen, also. I'm pretty sure I could have roped a cow better than these guys did.
So you have rodeo experience because you grew up in South Dakota.
Yeah, my mom used to race barrels. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Although I said it as if I did.
You did, but I could tell by looking that you had no idea.
So what is it?
A horse comes out of the chute and goes around in three barrels as fast as it can and then runs back. And it's timed. But it's exciting.
I'm sure. Like, do you not have movie theaters or just all still drive-ins?
We don't have a drive-in anymore. They tried to bring it back, but apparently we were too cool for it.
We got a Super Walmart.
We do. We are actually, I think, almost on our fourth Walmart in town now. I think they're working on the fourth one.
So the question is, with four Walmarts, why did you ever leave South Dakota?
What made
you come here
to
Los Angeles?
Well, after doing several low-budget commercials in Sioux Falls and a bunch of community theater, I decided I needed to branch out and do bigger things like this webisode.
What were the commercials?
My first commercial I did when I was two. Because
you got the acting bug.
I did. And I was bit by the bug, guys. I just was at the computer store playing like a alphabet computer game. And I said, push D, dog, come on, scream. And apparently the guy thought it was hilarious. And they put it on a commercial.
Is this on the internet? Can we find this?
No, and I think that we didn't even have a VHS back then. So I don't think it's anywhere.
So you said push D.
Push D, dog, come on, scream. Instead of screen. Because I was two, so cut me some slack.
I think that's hysterical now.
And I had, like, news anchor hair. I had, like, really short, curly hair. My friend Mike thinks I look like a news anchor in all my younger photos.
So you moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of three, after catching the acting bug.
At two and a half, I got on that plane.
You got on the bus.
I got on the wagon train.
The bus pulled up at the station. They picked up all the three-year-olds and gave them all agents. And well, what happened? You came out here, and so how are things going acting-wise since you've come out here?
Pretty good. I have a few shorts I'm in right now that are coming out soon. My favorite thing I did recently was I did something with Michael Ian Black, directed by Michael Showalter.
I saw that. Cool. I actually had that written down because I saw that on your resume that you worked with. It was like an Adult Swim thing.
Yeah. Yep. It's a fake infomercial called Your Hole, and I do some work with a hammer.
Okay.
Oh, my.
It's like therapy. It's pretty much the creepiest thing ever. I can barely watch it.
Well, how was it working with those guys? Michael Showalter, Michael Ian, those are great. I mean, The State was one of the all-time...
Everything they do is amazing. Like, a lot of the people, after I started watching Burning Love, a lot of those people were on my episode of Your Role and everything, and I'm just like, it was so much fun. It was relaxed, and, like, Winnie McClendon Covey was in it, and the Old Spice guy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun. I loved working with, actually, everyone. It was really laid back. And their humor is obviously awesome. It's, like, exactly what I love, so.
Well, you kind of mentioned before we started recording that you have two shorts in a film festival this Sunday.
Yes.
Okay, and is this one of them?
No, this is not.
Okay, so you got other shorts.
Well, what are these shorts? Tell us about these.
I'm just acting in these. I didn't write these. One is called Hot Ticket, and I play a hippie, a lesbian hippie.
Nice.
And then
the
another one.
You were born to play.
When I was 2 years old, I was like, Mom, I want to play a lesbian hippie. And you guys, it came true. 30 years later.
Your dream. You know what? Most people don't achieve their dreams. Here you have.
You just have to be patient, you guys. It always works out.
I wonder, what if I want to play lesbian hippie?
You just have to be patient. Give it 30 years.
So Hot Ticket, lesbian hippie, and what's the other one?
It's called Beth Kong, and I play a girl that gets blacked out drunk and is super obnoxious and goes on a rampage at a party.
Again, the role you were born to play.
I pretty much nailed both these things.
Beth Kong?
Yeah.
So that's your role, but what's that one about? Because I don't know, that name intrigues me.
Because I think it's a personal joke from the director and writer with one of his college friends, because I think they would make fun, because she'd be like the sweetest, cute girl, and then when she'd get drunk, she'd turn into like King Kong and go crazy and terrorize everyone. So they called her Beth Kong. I don't know what her real name was, because as you know, I do no research before I do anything.
So these are going to be in a film festival this Sunday. That would be the 25th.
Fifth, yeah.
Where
I knew this was going to happen. I think it's the Downtown Independent Theater.
Okay.
On Main.
That sounds right.
It sounds like a place.
It sounds like I know what I'm saying, right?
That's
even if it's wrong. That is a thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so that's what it is.
People are going to show up there. It's not going to exist.
I know. They're going to be like,
no, it's just a porno. It's a gay porno theater now.
So there's, I told you, it was a lesbian. I told you that.
Lesbian and Beth Kong sounds a little,
that's,
you know.
Tranny porn.
Beth Dong.
Beth Dong. Actually, that was the film you were in, Beth Dong.
Yeah, you guys.
And the thing you do with the hammer, totally different in this version.
It's totally different.
Well, so that's what you've been doing, but the reason we wanted to have you here.
Yes.
Is you've got a project coming out. By the time this podcast airs, it should be out, or I don't know, or will be.
It will be airing, I believe, on Monday. So just after this.
On the 26th. Cat Assistant.
Yep.
And you told me this title, and I loved this, because it sounds so silly. Why don't you tell us what Cat Assistant is about?
Cat Assistant is about a small-town girl that comes from Nebraska, and she wants to be, like, best friends with all the celebrities. And she gets hired to be a celebrity's assistant, and she's excited, and it ends up that the celebrity is a cat.
So this is kind of like if one of these famous internet cats, like Grumpy Cat,
yes,
had an assistant. Grumpy Cat probably does have an assistant.
Grumpy Cat probably has several.
He's got a movie deal. Now, let me ask you, at any point did you consider titling it Pussy Bitch?
I did not. Although we did throw around Pussy Posse.
Okay.
But
that was in a totally different context.
Yeah.
Well, what's the... I mean, I guess his question also begs, like, what's the tone of it? Is it, like, very... Is it just very loose and silly? Is it raunchy in any way? Like, would you say a thing like Pussy Bitch on the show? Like,
No, it's not very raunchy. It's very silly. It takes place kind of outside of reality. It's like a not a real reality, you know.
You mean the place where a cat has an assistant?
It's a place where I would be an assistant to a cat that has a publicist and a team of people. and basically, I mean, it has a through line in and of the fact that the same characters are in them, but they're pretty much kind of like standalone.
It's very episodic.
It is. It's sketchy.
Okay.
So it's like
literally, it's sketchy.
Super sketchy, you guys. Like, I literally get jumped in an alley in one episode.
Okay, so it's just you deal with the demands of this cat, of your boss.
Yes, of the boss, like his publicist. The cat, that's kind of the other thing, is that the cat, we don't, like, pretend that the cat is talking. He's just like an actual cat. It's just the people around him that make him seem celebrity and tell me what I need to do.
Got it.
Like, we're not trying to be like, this cat and
he's
I have
baby
telepathy.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's not like that.
Although,
which that would be.
Now that you bring up the idea of a cat with telepathy, this intrigues me even
so
more.
So in season two, the cat, and it turns out he has telepathy, guys.
Well, this brings me to another question. There's a cat in this. What's the cat's name?
Louie, which is also his real name, but in real life it's spelled L-O-U-I-E, and in the show it's spelled like Louis Vuitton.
So it's like Louis C.K.?
It's like fancy Louis.
Fancy Louis.
It's a stretch. He had to stretch changing the name.
It took him a while to
Did
really
ever
grasp
ask
it.
What his meow devation was?
Yes. That was horrible. I'm not going to laugh.
Well, this brings a question. I know you didn't direct it. You created it. You star in it. You didn't direct it. But since you were there, I got to ask, how does one direct a cat?
I was kind of in control of the cat. He's weirdly a little bit trained because I was approached by people at Hollywood Paws about training him. So he actually had been trained a little bit.
A little pussy whipped?
He was a little pussy whipped. And then he actually had, like, he was up for a role in that. It was like a WB. B show called Valentine or something.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
and
a
I
real
was
celebrity
like,
cat.
I was like, if this cat books a TV show before me, I will shit myself
and kill the cat.
I will kill Louis.
But this is your cat.
Yeah, and then they told me that a trainer would have to live with him for like weeks at a time, and he'd have to live with him. It was like boarding school for my cat, and I was like, I don't think he's that into it.
But you'd make money off it. Would you exploit your cat for money?
This is gonna sound awful, and this is why I can't have kids. But regardless of the money, I think I'd be really jealous of him and resent him. If he was on a TV show.
If you shipped him away to boarding school, would you rename him Harry Potter?
That was better.
Now, the cat had to do things, though. So how do you get the cat to... I mean, granted, cats mostly just kind of sit around.
Cats
anyway.
Are terrible. We'll get to that.
Well, I'm going to say... Well, we'll get to that, then. We will get to that. But I've lived with him for 9 years, and I know things he does. Okay. On purpose or on accident, and I kind of wrote for some of those things.
Like, okay, so there you go.
That's smart.
Yeah, he only does so much. Also, I had a great editor, so sometimes when the camera was rolling, he would do little things, and he would put it in at the right time, so it would look like the cat was reacting or doing something, which...
When in doubt, cut to the cat.
When in doubt, get a good editor.
So you didn't do the whole cat thing in one take?
All the episodes were shot continuously, all six of them.
Is there a big cast? Is there a sprawling cast?
Hundreds.
You guys, this was the hugest production since... I can't think of anything. No,
since
it wasn't
the Ten Commandments.
Ben-Hur.
since Cecil B. DeMille.
No, there's no cat pun in there. Continue.
Ben-Purr.
Ben-Purr, yes.
That's good. They are getting better. But that was his,
the
so...
The Ten Commandments?
Don't make it. Don't try to make it up.
Don't stop.
You're not going to find better than Ben-Purr.
That is really good.
Tell us some other people who are in this.
Okay, my friend Melanie Molnar is, and her and I are pretty much the two people in it consistently, except for the cat.
Is she the publicist?
She is.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. And then we have another producer on the show, John Hallman. He does a lot of sketch comedy, and he found us amazing people from Iowa West and Upright Citizens Brigade, and so we have amazing characters in it.
These cats... I mean, this is crazy. Well, this celebrity cat.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, that's one thing the internet needs, more cats.
I mean, there was a gap, and I filled it.
I have a friend. She was on a tour. She was on a book tour with another friend. They were both, you know, selling
cats.
Their books around the country. And they were in a town, I believe, in Indiana or something. And the... girl who was with my friend, I can't remember her name, and I'm trying to be somewhat vague because this is weird, but this girl goes to my friend, you know who lives in this town? And she's like, who? He says, Lil Bub, which is a famous internet cat. And she's like, some jarhead guy owns this cat. And this girl was like, I want to fuck him. I want to fuck him because he owns a celebrity cat. And my friend was like, what are you, out of your mind? You want to fuck someone just because they own a celebrity cat? And she said, yes. And she did. She found the guy. He went out with them for drinks. She went home with him. She went home with a man because he owned a celebrity cat.
Okay, so was the end game for her just to do that? Or was it because she wanted to get in the house and like hang out with Lil Bub?
No, it sounds like... she was in awe of someone who just happened to own a famous cat.
But see, that's like only wanting to sleep with famous people's managers. I just don't understand.
Well, better that she slept with the guy than the cat, to be fair.
I mean, which is more weird? I don't know at this point. They both sound super weird.
You should be using
sleeping
the cat.
With the cat's more weird. You're right.
To
that's
get men.
Definitely more weird. Weirdly enough, girls with cats don't attract a ton of men.
After this comes
it's not,
up...
It's not the first thing I mention.
Every man is going to want you just because of that cat.
You know what?
I'm not making any pussy jokes.
I was setting you up for one, too. I was setting you up for
too,
one.
It was too easy.
It was a lob. It was a lob.
It was, yeah.
Yes,
I did.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you... This just occurred to me, because I'm actually going through a... weird almost thing like this.
Wait, is this going to be about bestiality? Just tell me up.
No.
Okay, keep going.
Would you sleep with someone who wanted to sleep with you just because you owned a celebrity cat?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Fair you enough. Hear that, men? Disseminate your intentions. Dissemble, dissemble, dissemble.
Okay, well, listen. This sounds really funny and really silly and like a really good time.
It's silly.
So where can the people... The people are going to want to see this thing. Where can they go to see Cat Assistant?
Cat Assistant. It's so easy, it's impossible to remember.
Every time I say the name, I smile, though. It's just fun, because it's also... It's one of those... The name is so deceptively simple and silly and stupid, and it works.
Yeah, and it's exactly what the show is about. So it's really the best name for it. They can go to our Facebook page.
So they just put Cat Assistant in the Facebook.
Yes, because 5 minutes ago when Sean double-checked that hadn't been taken yet, it hadn't. So I'll be making that page as soon as I get home.
And if you are a good listener of the podcast, you have already been to our Facebook page, and you've clicked over to Cat Assistant, and you have liked Cat Assistant. However, if you have liked Cat Assistant and have not liked our Facebook page, go fuck yourself.
There will be a reckoning.
We'll find you.
We will find you.
And so, like Cat Assistant, and all the up-to-date information on Cat Assistant will be there.
Yes.
Excellent.
It will.
Is Cat Assistant on Twitter yet?
No.
You know what? If I may, suggestion, get a at like Cat Assistant or whatever is available closest thing to it, and you should tweet as the Cat Assistant character, as like, oh, I dealt with like, oh, Louis wanted me to do this today, or you know, and send a tweet a day about that.
I mean, is that funny?
It's very funny.
It is.
Yes. We expect this to be up, and follow at Cat Assistant on Twitter, and we'll have a link as well. We will retweet it.
Anything you have going, we will post on our Facebook.
Okay. Perhaps. You know how well I use Twitter.
But I'm going to do it.
I'm going to figure it out. Yes. Also, check out my Twitter, at Cat Assistant. Also, I have not verified that that's available.
But what's your actual Twitter? At?
Amanda_Jane_Nix. It's right. So long that you literally can't write anything else in your tweet.
But follow her on Twitter.
140 character handle.
It's at Amanda J. Nix, loves cats but not in a creepy way. Please don't judge me. _
1981.
So, do you want to, not that you have much of a say in this matter.
I was just checking to make sure that was actually my Twitter handle because I really didn't know.
Not that you have much of a say in this matter. Do you want to break down some of the week's pop culture topics with us?
I have been in a black hole called South Dakota, but I will try.
Well, these are very easy general.
Okay, then if it's another lob, I'll try not to whiff like Sean did earlier.
Whoa.
Are you a fan of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and those movies like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz?
Yes.
Well, they got a new one coming out this weekend.
What
called
is it?
The World's End.
Didn't we see this earlier with James Franco and Jonah Hill?
This is the end.
Okay, because that confused me just then when you said that. So
The World's End is about a bunch of guys who they're going to relive a great drunken night when they tried to complete this pub crawl. Of course, now they go back to their town to complete the 12-bar pub crawl, only to find out that their town has been overtaken by, is it aliens or robots? I'm not really sure. I'm going to go see the movie and find out, but it looks funny.
I want to go as well.
This got me thinking about some of our own possibly epic drinking nights. And I was going to ask you, Sean, do you have any, like, real, like, that you want to, like, let's relive this great epic drinking night?
I don't know if I would relive it, but this was...
You wouldn't relive waking up on the floor, bathroom floor of Cantor's?
No, that was a Christmas Eve 2008. Not epic, just awful. This would be the day of the World Cup 7 years ago. So what would that be, 2006? I was in Manhattan. The World Cup was at noon, Manhattan time. Woke up early that morning, started drinking heavily, watched the World Cup, then went back to my friend's apartment on the Upper West Side, put on my tuxedo, and proceeded to a wedding, the reason why I was in New York, for my ex-girlfriend. Went to this fancy-ass, expensive fucking wedding in right by the Lincoln Center, Columbus Circle. Drank heavily at this wedding, and then the night ended at 4 o'clock in the morning on the Upper West Side, myself with a group of friends. There were Princeton girls involved. It got very complicated. We were in tuxedos. It was strange, and I don't want to go into all the details, but it was definitely an epic, weird night.
I feel, unfortunately, a lot of my epic drinking nights aren't necessarily epic nights. You know,
or like epic mornings.
Epic moment? Is it like an epic moment that happens in your drinking night?
Well, the problem is, and I was raising this problem, we don't, and I think we should do this more, Sean. We need to, and you could come too, Amanda.
Thank you.
I'm the cat.
We need to get drunk and go on a drunk adventure. Like, we need to, like...
See, it's hard in L.A. because of the cars.
That is all we do in South Dakota. I'm trying to tell you this. We had a redneck drive-in the other night. We parked a Chevy truck on a dirt mound in our field. We laid down couch cushions and blankets. We had a computer where we watched Frisky Dingo, and we drank wine out of a bag and Bud Light in the back of the Chevy pickup in the middle of the country.
That sounds...
Redneck drive-in.
That sounds pleasant.
This is how you die mudding.
That's not really an adventure, though.
That's exactly. Like, I mean, I remember being in Vegas, and I think I drank more than all my other friends, and I was a little disappointed in them because I was trashed, and they were all, like, still had their wits about them.
Dealing with you.
And I, no, they weren't really dealing
with me.
They're
like, wow, this night turned out crap.
We went to some club, and I'm not a club guy. But
really?
Yeah.
You totally seem like a club guy.
But We're like, we're in Vegas, let's go to this fucking club. And we're in this club, and there were these, like, drunken Korean girls, and they kept giving me and my friend Darren booze. And I don't know if he was drinking it so much, but I drank anything they handed me. And I was dancing with them. I'm not a dancer.
Fermented kimchi juice, yeah?
When I'm drunk, I'm a dancer. And I'm dancing with them. And then at one point, like, I realized all my other friends had gone, and they were like, we want to gamble some more. We're going. It's like 2 in the morning. They want to go gamble. I'm like, I'm staying here. So I kept drinking with the Korean girls. Problem is, about a half hour later, the Korean girls were like, okay, we're going to leave, bye. And they just left, and I'm like, huh?
And the cheese stands alone.
And I'm like, take me with you. And no, they did not take me with them.
Because they're North Koreans.
Probably. So then I found myself alone, and I stood there for about another half hour on the kind of outskirts of the dance floor. Like, I was, and then I realized,
it was like junior high.
I realized I was the creepy drunk guy.
You are.
That's a junior prom.
Yeah. And I'm like, we were drunk. But I was sober enough to know you're creepy. So I'm like, I'm going to leave. I probably announced it to no one. And I walked out, and I remember there were the revolving doors to leave the casino. And I stepped in them, and I tried to step out of them too soon, and wham! I hit my face in the door. And this guy was like, are you okay? And I immediately, like, puffed out my chest and stood up straight, because I'm like, show no weakness. Like, don't show him you're, like, a mess. And I'm like, I'm fine. And he goes, okay, do you need me to get you a cab? And I go, no. And he's like, okay. So now I'm alone. It's like 4 in the morning on the street in Vegas, on the strip. On a Sunday night, and I'm like, okay, you have a few options here. You can either A, get in a cab, or B, go back in the casino and try to sober up, or C, walk back to your hotel, which is extremely far away. It's on the whole other end of the strip. Obviously, I chose C.
Obviously.
What about D, find those Koreans?
I was walking back, and then I started to get paranoid, and in my head, I'm like, they're going to get you.
Were you also high?
No. But I started to, like, I'm in a strange city, and I'm drunk, alone, wandering the streets, and there are weirdos out here. So I started running, and I was running full speed through the empty streets because it was like Sunday. It was kind of empty. It was 4 in the morning on a Sunday, and I'm running, and finally I ran into a hotel. And I distinctly remember a prostitute asking me how I was doing. She called me Short Stuff.
She goes, not Short Round?
She goes, hey, Short Stuff. And I said, what? And she goes, how you doing? Why don't you come over here? And I said, no. And I ran back to my hotel. And I mean, the point is, I wish there were people with me equally drunk. And I have put forth to some of my friends that on a night very soon, we are all going to go get trashed together. Because we never get trashed together. There's always one person has to be sober. I want me and my friends bonding.
But where should we do this? This is, once again, poses the question.
I'm going to figure this out.
We just have to get a cab and pick a place that's
City Walk.
Super
Sunday
trashy.
Morning.
Yeah,
you guys, Sunday morning shit show starting at Saddle Ranch on the Strip with those huge, but ginormous things of mimosa, those towers.
So that's interesting. We should get
it should
day
be like,
drunk.
We should do the bottomless champagne, like, yeah.
Okay, not only should we get day drunk, we should get tourist day drunk.
That's not bad.
It's awesome.
And then we drunkenly, like, wander into touristy places.
The last time I was at Drunken Shit Show Brunch at Saddle Ranch on the Strip, Jesse Metcalf was there, and he kept asking us over and over for a cigarette, but then he was too drunk to remember that we kept saying that we didn't smoke. And he asked us, like, 12 times.
I see. I'm just too paranoid about, like, getting kicked out of places. I don't like getting kicked out of places.
See, you gotta let that go.
I want to be with a team of friends, and I want the threat that we're gonna get kicked out hanging over us all the time.
Will Andrew Marchant be part of this?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I would say if you want to get kicked out of a bar, right, even out of a cowboy hick club in Chatsworth, me and Alyssa Vaughn, we can do it. We were like two of six people at Cowboy Palace in Chatsworth. It was an $80 cab ride, but it was okay because we got a ride home with a Marine that teaches karate. And then we played We Dance and Rock Band. But there were two other people dancing, and somehow they ran into Alyssa over and over and over, and then there were words, and then there were words with me, and then this cowboy guy had crazy eyes, and then there were words with us, and then we were basically kicked out and not so politely asked to please not come back.
Well, we can't go to Cowboy Palace. That's out.
Well, so that's out, so I'm sorry I ruined that. But there's a place called Montana's.
See, I knew you would have some tips for this, and I knew you would have some epic drinking.
I'm telling you, but I will outdrink you because I'm from South Dakota.
I don't doubt this.
I'd like to tell, see your boast.
Well, let's do this. Let's have a drinking competition.
I want to do it like Raiders of the Lost Ark style.
Yeah, we're just flipping over cups.
I literally don't know what that means.
Have you ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes.
When at the beginning, the first scene when they introduce Karen Allen, she's in like Nepal drinking with the with what are they, Inuits? What are they?
They're not
Shamrocks. What are they called?
I don't think they're
Sherpas.
Inuits.
They're not Shamrocks. They're Sherpas.
A Sherpa, like the sheep that's in the lining of my UGG boots.
No, like the little dudes that help you get up Mount Everest.
Okay.
The point is, we're gonna drink. The point is, we're gonna both.
I was like, did I just say something horrible?
I said something racist. Just,
to bring this back to pop culture.
Okay. Yes.
Are you gonna see The World's End this weekend?
Yes. I'm gonna be at a bachelorette party. But I will see it
as soon. Will you get epically drunk at the bachelorette party?
Yes. Okay. Do you want to come? You can't. It's just for girls.
We're going to get molesterized if we go.
Sean.
Yeah, I'll go see the movie. Not go to the bachelorette party, though.
I think I'd rather go to
if
the
If I get an elevator,
you said, we're fine.
I don't like being the only guy with more than three women around. If I get in an elevator and there's more than three women, I'm the only guy, I start panicking.
What do you think is going to happen?
Castration.
To you? And what you think when women get in groups, that's what we're like. There's a lot of women here.
Is there a Coke bottle? Let's break it off and cut his dick off.
I am the opposite. I want to be in a situation where I'm the only man with tons of drunken women.
Oh, sounds like a nightmare.
Because one of them will be desperate enough.
They just get loud and shrill.
Is that like an actual statistic that if there's a lot of women, one will be drunk enough to hook up with you?
It's only a
science.
It's only a statistic in my life, not necessarily general with men.
Well, so then, in all honesty, does that happen if you're a lot of drunk girls? Do you always get some?
The problem is I'm not around enough drunk girls.
So that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Did you watch Sharknado?
No.
Did you want to watch Sharknado? Or are you like, this is too
Do you know what Sharknado
I
is?
I do know what Sharknado is, and I am interested, and I would watch it.
Well, sci-fi this week put on a new shit show, and it's called Ghost Shark. Now, the plot of this, it stars Night Court's Richard Mole.
Is that the tall bald guy?
Yep.
Ball? Yes.
Mole. It's about a ghost shark, and this shark can attack in any body of water. So the ghost shark could pop up in a bathtub, in the toilet.
You bite your butt?
It could come up in the rain, just if it's raining.
In the rain. And it comes down on the raindrops.
And the ghost shark is attacking a small...
South Dakota town.
No.
No!
It was a landlocked...
It's Pier. He's like, you don't pronounce it right, and he kills everyone.
It's attacking a small, like it was an old colonial village with a dark history.
What, did they, like, drown a shark for being a witch?
We don't know. We haven't watched it yet.
I want to know why he died. Like, why does he have this vendetta?
Well, here's the thing. Is this, like, is sci-fi trying to make bad movies on purpose?
Yes, because they're funny. It's like Snakes on a Plane.
But isn't there a thing, like, first of all, this isn't going to be as big as Sharknado.
No, because just ghost shark, it's not as clear. I don't know what a ghost shark is. You say the word Sharknado, you almost immediately understand the concept. When you say Sharktopus, you know what that is.
And those both sound stupider than ghost shark.
Ghost shark could almost be like a spy movie.
So this is their new plan, though. Like, we're just going to make dumb shit.
The new Bond film.
Yeah.
And people are going to watch, and we're all going to tweet about it. Because Twitter's the reason I watched Sharknado. I saw people tweeting about Sharknado, like, getting ready for it to come on, and I jumped on board that bandwagon. I watched it that night like an asshole, tweeting about it with all my... You know,
with all your buddies, all my Patton Oswalt and Paul Scheer,
and Alex Stein tweeted about it as well.
He did,
legitimate buddy. So, but can you? You can't really make something bad on purpose, right? Because if you try to make something bad on purpose, it's just terrible.
No, what about like Army of Darkness?
That's good.
Yeah, because why?
Because it's slapsticky. It's very knows what tone it is. It knows exactly what it is.
Yeah, but it's technically bad. Like, if someone didn't get that humor, you'd watch it. It's a bad movie. You don't think so?
No, I think it's clever. I think it's got special effects.
All right. Well, then, never mind.
But I get what you're trying to say. Snakes on a Plane is one of the rare examples of something that I think... Well, there's a bit, here's the thing. I don't think they were trying to make a bad movie with Snakes on a Plane. I think they were trying to make the best... damned movie about snakes on a plane, and it's just that the concept is so stupid it becomes naturally funny. If they had set out to make it, like, we're going to make it bad on purpose, I don't think Snakes on a Plane would be good.
Like, for example, The Last Skeleton of Cadavra. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
That's a movie that I think is bad on purpose and is not a good movie. It's too bad that
I
can't enjoy it.
I love that, but I'm not big on it.
No, it's too hokey. It's too much like Ed Wood film that at a basic level, you just can't enjoy it.
So, like, I mean...
It's too self-aware.
But Snakes on a Plane, I felt like some of the lines they had, they couldn't have been trying to write them to be good.
Well, maybe some of the actors who read those lines, they didn't cast the strongest.
It was pretty ridiculous.
Well, basically, the internet invented the line, "That's it, I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane." And I remember in my theater... a standing ovation. I went to the first show.
We were there. Midnight screening, and there was actually a dude dressed as a plane and a dude dressed as a snake, and they were chasing each other around the theater before the movie started.
That's awesome.
Now, Sharknado's been in theaters.
Yeah?
Like, they put it in theaters for midnight shows, and I think it did pretty well.
It's now going to Europe.
But now they're going to make Sharknado 2, and aren't they going to fuck that up by making it, like,
trying
like,
to make it,
consciously bad?
Well, $30 million budget.
I think that this one was successful almost on accident, and I think that they'll ruin it if they think that they've got a good thing going and they try to do a second one.
The Room is a great example of this, too. Have you ever seen The Room?
Yes.
Tommy Wiseau, who created The Room, he clearly was trying to make a very serious film. But now when you see Tommy Wiseau, anything he's trying to do, he's kind of like, oh, yeah, no, it's silly, it's funny, and it's not.
Because... You're like, don't cover, dude. We know. Yeah. We know. Yeah.
But also, that movie was made with earnestness, and it wasn't made... It was. He wasn't trying to make a bad movie.
And that's why it's a great bad movie.
Right.
But Tommy Wiseau tries to make another movie, and he'll probably now consciously try to make something a little... Because Tommy Wiseau's... let's face it, he's not that bright.
Or he's so bright. Maybe he's a British, you know, trained actor, and he's just been in character for 15 years.
Jesus Christ. Well, then he's the greatest actor of all time.
Yeah. Take that, Daniel Day-Lewis.
It's super method, guys.
It's super method.
So, Amanda.
Yes?
You have a cat. You love your cat. You traveled with your cat.
I do, but I, to be clear.
No, I'm not accusing you of being a crazy cat lady. But, I mean, people have pets, and they love their pets.
I do love my pet.
My dad had a cat. He loved his cat. Sly was his cat.
I like that name.
It was a good name.
It is a good name.
And the Family Link.
Yeah, Sly and the Family Link. And, but, you know, I've noticed something. That these people...
Was the cat a pioust man?
My dad was a mailman, so that's the joke there.
That was good.
Well, meow man.
Meow man?
He did, actually meet this cat on his mail route. He delivered to, like, an animal shelter, and this cat had problems, and I think they were going to put it down or something. And he's like, I'll take the cat.
He raised it up.
And he raised it up. Sly the cat.
And he said it like a superhero. Yeah.
But here's the thing that my dad never did. He always treated the cat like a cat. He didn't try to make it a person.
Yes.
He didn't try to put, like, a vest on the cat.
Yes.
Or something. Or, like... And, I've noticed a trend going on lately, also with cats. Not necessarily a humanistic trend, but a trend that is not cat-like. People are putting their cats on leashes. They put their cats on leashes, and I'm out on town, and I'll see someone, and I'm like, what? What are they? What are they? Is that a cat on a leash? And I'll see the cat on the leash. And then I'm talking to a guy at work. There were two guys at work. One, he owned a cat. This is the fucking asshole who got fired that I hated, and I talked about him on the podcast vaguely. He would walk his cat like a fucking asshole. He'd have his cat. He's like, oh, I walk my cat down the street. I'm like, what? Another guy was telling me, my girlfriend, she wants to get a leash for her cat. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. And here's the thing. Cat don't want to be on leash. Cat wants to be free. Cat doesn't want to be encumbered by a leash. There's a reason you can't. There's even a phrase about herding cats, that you can't herd cats. It's an expression. Why? Because you can't make a cat go places. Why are you putting a cat on the leash? And that is why this week the enemy of the podcast is you people who are putting cats on leashes. Fuck you. Stop putting cat on leash. Cat don't want to be on leash. And another thing, you're looking at me like you have put your cat on a leash.
My cat absolutely walks on a leash. I put him on a leash when we go to our lake cabin because he runs in the trees and he walks all over with me.
Now, I understand putting a cat on a leash in an enclosed area that you were in a new place, but just to take the cat for a walk for the sake of taking
a
cat
for a walk. I do not take my cat on a walk.
Okay, so it's a little different,
well,
but I still, but this cat, the cat well, likes
listen,
a leash.
there's some things. he had the leash that there's an episode in Cat Assistant where he's walking on a leash.
Well, that's different because that's Cat Assistant.
No,
cat.
But it doesn't go well, and that's how it was in real life. But now I got him a retractable leash, so I'm not always yanking on him, and he walks like a dog. It's awesome. But I use that when we're in Minnesota in the middle of nowhere, and there's like cornfields and shelter belts, and he runs around, and he's not an outdoor cat. So
fine.
I put him on the leash there, but he walks like he loves it, and he will sit by the door, and I'll open the door, and he won't run out until I put his leash on.
You know
he
why people put dogs on leashes?
Leash.
Because dogs need to go for walks
yes,
so they can poop.
I do not walk my cat.
This is why cats are superior, by the way, because they shit in a box like we shit in a toilet.
Yes.
Dogs shit everywhere.
They
dogs
do.
Are shitting on the sidewalk.
Which, even if I wanted to walk my cat, like, for weird exercise reasons, I don't know, I wouldn't because my sidewalk in Hollywood is filled with dog crap and pee, and I would never let my cat back in my house.
But really,
he would have to live on the fire escape.
Doesn't a cat walk you?
I have a video of me walking my cat.
Ah, jeez.
you should put that on the Cat Assistant Facebook page.
But, Will, so then you're totally cool. You like the dog shitting everywhere. You're cool with putting a dog in a stroller then, right?
No, get this. Here's the other
no,
thing.
No, I would
so,
never.
So I'm walking down the street. My mother's in town, and she sees a stroller. My mom, you know, she likes babies because she wants grandkids that, unfortunately, I'm not anywhere near close to giving her.
And hang out with more drunk girls, and maybe I'll get there.
I'm going to try. Invite me to this bachelor party. I'm going to impregnate one of them.
Well, that
hopefully
sounds
not the future bride.
Hopefully not. We can only hope.
Or the North Korean.
But we're there, and we see someone pushing a stroller.
Or me.
My mom looks over at the stroller. And there's a fucking dog in the stroller. And I'm seeing this everywhere. Dog don't want to be in stroller.
No.
Dog want to walk. Dog want to walk. They don't, I mean, what is this?
But see, this is the line. This is the line. When it makes me so annoyed when I tell people I have a cat and they say, oh, you're a crazy cat lady.
No, dog people are crazier.
Dog people are crazier in general, but not always. But this is there is a line
Listen,
to be crossed.
First we put dogs in costumes and we said nothing. Then we had parties for them, and we said nothing. Where does it end?
It should end at the stupid stroller.
Dogs never touch the ground anymore.
No, they don't.
They live in purses.
Oh, my God. They're going to end up being just as fat and overweight. Now we're going to have dog diabetes and a dog obesity epidemic because we're going to stroller them everywhere.
We do.
Yeah, no, these animals are in trouble. They are getting diabetes and fat.
Dog
so your cat is a indoor cat. Well, you
yes.
live in a city. I can understand not mm-hmm. wanting.
He's from. He was an outdoor. He's from my barn in South Dakota.
My
the hell's a barn.
Okay, you know what?
I have a barn.
You're really conflicted on this because
no,
can
I'm not because I still don't want to put the cat on leash. I got to stick on this. I mean, I'm sorry. I picked the net.
It's not a stick. It's a string.
I have to stick with this. But because I can't imagine. Yeah, so the cat's just thrilled to be outside. The cat's not happy it's on a leash. It's just happy it's outside.
Well, I don't know if a dog necessarily loves being on a leash either. It's just happy it's outside.
Dog is a stupid animal.
Oh, so cats are smart.
Cats are smarter than dogs.
Okay. Well, I just think that in my situation, he needs to be on a leash so he doesn't run away.
Let me tell you what, those cats know what's going on. Those cats are really smart. My dad's cat was really smart. My dad's cat, though, my dad let the cat be outdoor cat. And I got to admit, I even live in a building where there are these three black cats that run around our building. They live in our building. They're kind of the mascots of the building. But I get paranoid driving through that parking lot
that
a cat's going to... And I was always paranoid about my dad's cat because my dad's cat would see his car coming and it would run right in front of it. Always, and my dad always, but I would always be terrified. My dad's like, he knows, and he was good. Although once my dad came home to find the cat on the doorstep all bloodied, and he brought it to the vet and had to have his tail amputated.
Ooh, fucked with the wrong bird.
Well, my dad's cat would fuck with any animal that came in the yard. Giant dog came in the yard, cat would fight it. He would fight everything.
He was a tough cat.
And he would also, in the morning... The cat would walk the kids to the bus stop and hang out at the bus stop with the neighborhood kids. My dad's cat killed a dog, by the way. Have I ever told this story?
No.
My dad's cat, there was a dog that lived across the street. And whenever, and it was an
Saint Bernard.
An old dog. It was a small dog, but it was an old dog. And it would live, it was like
it was
in the backyard behind this fence. And every time Sly would walk past the fence, the dog would go crazy, no matter how often this happened, for years. And one day, Sly just sat there, and the dog was barking and barking and barking. And Sly just sat there for, like, my dad said that Sly sat there, like, all afternoon. The dog just wouldn't stop barking. Dog had a heart attack.
That's why cats are fucking evil.
They are. They know how to get you. They know their size and their ability, and so they use their brain.
See, my dog... who's a fucking Yorkie, stalked, cornered, and killed a squirrel bigger than she was because she's awesome and she's a killer. And I saw rip its throat out.
Yeah.
And then I had to clean it up with a shovel and a hose. And my brother.
But this is the thing I say to people. Just because you own a cat or just because you own a dog doesn't mean you have to be a crazy cat or dog person. Because like you were saying, my cat's my cat. So I love my cat. I take care of my cat. My cat sleeps with my bed, like sleeps with me in my bed. But my cat does not wear clothing. My cat does not like have friends and play dates. He does not have photos all over my apartment. Oh, actually, there's some photos. But whatever. He's still a pet. But also, I was raised in South Dakota with animals that were like barn cats and horses and dogs. And you're just, it's not the same mentality towards animals there.
What the hell's a horse?
Yeah, exactly.
I am going to get fish. And I'm going to treat them like people treat dogs and cats. I'm going to walk them. I'm going to put them in little bowls.
You walk down the street.
I am going
put the bowl in a stroller and take it for a little ride.
I'm going to put little jackets on them and things. I'm going to...
All right, I'm out. That's why I don't have any pets.
Yeah, I can't deal with pets.
But can we all agree that forget cats, forget dogs, bird people can go fuck themselves?
Go fuck themselves, for sure.
Birds are the worst.
You know who always wanted a bird? My ex-roommate and... one of my best friends, Jared Garcia.
Ah, these birds. They live forever, and they squawk, and they make noise, and they'll rip your thumb off if you look at them the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't want
them. My friend had a little, like...
Parakeet?
Quaker parrot. It's called a Quaker or something. And it looked at me from across the room, and it came flying across the room, latched onto my finger, like right on my knuckle. And it hurt. I was bleeding, and I was trying to get off. And everyone in our family was like, don't shake your hand. You'll break the bird's neck. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just sit here. He can just hang onto my finger all day. They're so worried. And this bird was an asshole.
It's a Quaker bird, not a shaker bird.
Exactly.
Stupid. At least you don't... I'll give you personally a pass on the
dispensation.
Leash thing because you don't dress your animals up.
No.
And you put them on leashes in, like, Minnesota.
Yes.
And stuff. It's not like walking through the streets of LA. But
no.
I see one more person. I see someone walking a cat on a leash.
You should get a scissors and cut it.
I swear to God, I was about to suggest that. Yes.
You're free.
You're free. And I see him running. I once ran over a cat. And Because, I wasn't doing anything stupid.
No,
I know. Was just driving. And it came out of nowhere.
Well, that's when you're like, well, cats are smart. They don't need me a leash. There's nothing dumber than a scared cat. Your cat can be the smartest cat, and it gets scared. Its brain turns off, and it's all of its limbs fly, and
it domesticated a wild animal.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying that's when they bolt, or they go under cars, or they freak out, and they run away into shelter belts, which you guys might not even know that is, but they go there, and then you lose them.
And the cats in my building, they're very scaredy cats. Like, they've known me for 8 years. I walk near them sometimes if I walk near them the wrong way, they run away.
Yeah.
So scared. And I'm like, you know me, cats.
You know me.
My dad's cat was afraid of nothing, though.
Clearly.
He was a good cat. Fucking he died a few years ago. Aww. A natural cat.
I had a cat. She died. She died. I had a dog.
Although I do sometimes take my cat to Bricks and Scones, and we sit out front because there's birds, and he sits on the chair, but he won't sit at my table. So me and my friend Melanie, who's in the thing, this is how we came up with cat assistant.
It's too much cat talk.
You've
getting angry now.
You kind of lost me there a little bit, Amanda.
I don't care. He sits at the table, and we eat and drink coffee. Because I feel bad. He's inside all day long in this little one bedroom. So I, like, let him go out sometimes.
So I always like to end the show.
To one place.
I always like to end the show on a weird note. Not that we haven't already been on that weird note. But a northern Arizona family, don't worry, they're safe after being lost at sea for weeks. Where were they headed? Where were they headed again?
They were heading to the Thailand, tiny island nation of Kiribati, which is by the international date line.
And, you know, is it a family? They had a baby with them?
They had their two small children, their father-in-law.
The old man.
The old man, yeah.
And so, you know, they were lost at sea. But you want to know why they were lost at sea?
Yes.
They were attempting to leave the United States because they don't like the way our U.S. government interferes with religion.
And then who had to save them?
Venezuelan Coast Guard. After months and months at sea, during which their voyage, they gave birth to a child.
No.
They wanted to leave the U.S., a country that has freedom of religion. Because they don't feel they can worship here the way they're supposed to. Basically, they don't like abortions and homosexuals. That's basically what it is.
So they decided they packed up the boat, put the kids and the father-in-law and the fucking pregnant wife, and they set sail for a little island nation of Micronesians thousands of miles away without sophisticated GPS technology. They got stranded. They were down to eating, like, bark and honey.
Honestly, the Venezuelans picked them up. We should have just let them stay in Venezuela. There they'll know freedom.
Well, I was hoping that after they tried to leave the United States that we had to rescue them, our own government.
That would have been better.
It would have been nice.
We welcomed them back because we're a loving nation.
And they're not affiliated with a church. They practice their own form of religion where they, as a family, interpret the Bible on their own.
Any way they want
to. Because they're, you know, fucking scholars.
Well, it's a good thing they didn't show up to the island. They probably would have brought, like, smallpox blankets or
something. No, I hope what would have happened is the same thing that happened. No, I would have hoped that would have happened to them. The same thing happened to Magellan when he ended up in, like, Fiji and he tried to convert the natives and then they killed
and
him.
And they turned on him.
Yeah.
What is the religion of that place they were going to? They're just upset that we don't live in a Christian nation. We live in a nation that accepts, you know, other
religions.
They wanted to go there because it's one of the most sparsely inhabited countries on Earth.
So it would have been easier for them to take it over and make it a Christian island.
Fuck these people.
Well, they said that God got them through the storms and is the reason they were found at sea. So God's the reason. So then in their mind, God's the one who said, get the fuck back to America. But the best thing is, now that they're back in Arizona, they're coming up with a new plan.
Oh, good. I hope it involves better GPS navigation systems.
Maybe it'll involve a blimp. You know what? Fuck
hot air balloon.
A weather balloon. A weather balloon.
Yes.
Fuck these people.
They're going to be like the up guy. They're going to make a balloon, and they're just going to end up, once again, some forbidden island.
I'm going to say something. Their children should be taken away from them.
Yeah.
They did endanger them for no reason.
The reason, because God sent you. If there is a God, spoiler alert, there isn't. But if there is a God, he sent you back here. So fucking stay here. Stay here in America.
But you don't really want them here, so get in that balloon.
No, now I want them here. I want them to suffer. I want them to suffer with their Obamacare and their... I want them to suffer with all the things that I like about America.
So, Amanda, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming on the show.
It was so fun.
Was this... You had a good time?
Yes, I did. I had a great time.
Was it everything you thought it would be?
And more.
Good. And it was a little longer than 12 minutes.
It was. I really should have listened to at least one of these before I came on the show.
Yeah, she came in and she thought it was a 12-minute show.
But I will go home and like you on Facebook.
Good.
Yay.
And everyone else should also.
So, one more time before we leave, just just tell
we
everybody.
Want to reiterate that I'm not a crazy cat lady. Is that what you were going to say?
I was
going to. Because I want you to say that.
You can reiterate that as much as you want.
You are a cat lady.
I own a cat.
But,
lady.
Cat assistant.
Yes.
Tell us again where we can find it, where we can find everything Amanda Nix, because you also have your own website.
Yes,
right?
I do.
So tell us everything.
I have links to most of my things, and I have a few more things to put up on AmandaNix.com. And Cat Assistant you can find on Facebook. Just look up Cat Assistant.
So just so people are clear, this is not Amanda Bynes, it's Amanda Nix.
And also not Amanda Knox, which was a real problem for a while.
That's
Amanda
true.
Nix, N-I-X.
Okay, and Twitter again? Give your Twitter handle one more time.
Amanda_Jane_Nix.
Okay, so go find out everything about her and go like Cat Assistant. It's silly and funny and wonderful.
Yay, thank you guys.
Sean, do the thing where you plug your things.
You can follow me at Twitter, @TheSeanDavid. You can also download and buy my book, Buy and Download, Buy, Read, Download, any combination thereof. Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS, Amazon Kindle, and I'm going to start pushing that a little harder because I haven't, so I need to get on that. Also, I will be reading at Tattletales, Michael Patrick Duggan's show at Shetty's on Patriot Day, 9/11.
Call it Patriot Day?
It's officially Patriot Day.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm going to redeem 9/11. So I'll be doing that 7:30 p.m. Shetty's on 3rd and Fairfax. So expect to see you there because it's going to be awesome.
Well, get this, Sean.
Uh-oh.
I'm also going to be reading at Shetty's.
This is worse than 9/11.
On 9/11. The Twin Towers of essay readings will
shit.
Be there.
We're going to get a flyer made up.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We should. We should build this as the Twin Towers of
comedy.
Essay comedy. Will Link and Sean David will be performing at Tattletales on September 11th. I have two essays I've been toying with reading. One of them is about escaping burning buildings. I'm serious. I'm debating whether that's appropriate to read or not on that day.
It's only weird if you bring attention to it.
I would obviously bring attention to it.
He's going to over-apologize for it, and then everyone's going to be really like, you guys, I'm so sorry, but I hope you know that I didn't do this on purpose, and it's going to make it really awkward for everyone.
But I'm more than likely going to be trying out a piece that I hope to be reading in January at Word Salad. So.
Well, mine's about Muslims, so it's going to be interesting.
It'll be the most patriotic night ever at a Canadian bar,
yes.
By the way.
I slam, you slam, we all slam for Islam.
You can also follow me on Twitter @ The Real Will Link. You could also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti. You could listen at crntalk.com. I review movies. This week I told everyone how terrible Kick-Ass 2 was, but how they should see Blue Jasmine, which is opening in wider release. Also, you could read articles of mine at u1can.com. Can, you know, like the city in France. On the show next week, very excited. We got two guests. It's been a while since we have a twofer.
That's always fun.
Jordan Robbins and Jolynn Braswell, they run a blog called Badass Bands Blog, and they also book shows down at the Silver Lake Lodge, and we're going to talk to them about all of that.
It'll be a very music-heavy episode.
It's going to be a very, we got some fun music topics. Just like this was a very cat-heavy episode, theirs will be a very music-heavy episode. Also, the week after that, me and Sean are going to probably completely incorrectly predict who's going to win the Emmys.
So it'll just be the two of us. Deal with it, folks.
And the week after that, schedule permitting, we're still working on it, TV's Nick Wexler is going to be here to tell us all about the new season of Revenge.
Yay.
Revenge.
Are you a fan?
Yes.
There you go. You'll have to listen into that
one. I will.
I'll listen to that episode.
That'll be the one I listen to, you guys.
So again, Amanda, so thank you so much. Especially,
yay.
I know you've been flying around all day, so thank you for coming to podcast with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. It was amazing.
And for the Will Sean Podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.